Let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at two passages this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, and then we're going to look at 2 Timothy, and we're going to just have out of our Ephesians study this morning a picture of honoring moms this morning. So in our study in Ephesians, we're doing our walk series. I titled this morning's message, Walk in Honor of Your Mom. And next week, we're going to start our marriage part of Ephesians chapter 5. That's always fun. Next week, starting with what God speaks to wives. The following week, what God is speaking to husbands. And then moving into parenting and working and all of the practical aspects where the gifts of the Spirit and the character of the Spirit become particularly relevant to our lives. And certainly, that's the case. And so this God that we serve is not theoretical only in nature, but he is practical. And we praise God that Jesus himself came down to earth and died for us and gave himself for us. And he ended up living out his life for 18 years serving his mom. And I think that's a great picture, which we'll look at in a minute. I was looking at some cards there, and this is a card that I found in the at the store. If you look at this, stuff to ask your mom: what's for dinner, what time is it, how come, why not, when's it my turn, can I have more, where is it, will you read to me, can I watch TV, can I play with this, do I have to go to bed? Any of these questions sound familiar, mom? And then here's the question that everybody asks dad: where's mom? Well, that's how important you are. But basically what we do as fathers is we point back to your mom. Go ask your mom and see what she says. You know, it's amazing over the years. We just celebrated this last week, 31 years of marriage in my life to my wife. And we've seen just God pour out his blessings over those 31 years. 27 of those years, almost 28 of those years now, we've had kids. And I praise God my son's here today. From St. Louis. He graduated from USC Friday with his master's in some scientific field that I can't even pronounce. I didn't know they had degrees in those things, so it was pretty exciting. There was many people getting their master's degrees in engineering at USC, so it was a blessing to have him here, and it's just turned out to be Mother's Day weekend, so my wife also is excited and had her tank filled up this weekend. But so in all those years, we've watched our kids grow. When we had our son, he was so easy growing up that we figured we'd write a book about it because it was so easy. He's just been one of those kids that we haven't had to ever discipline, really. I've never spanked him once in my life. I went to spank him one day in second grade, and I started crying, so ended up hugging him, and I ended up teaching about grace, you know, so that was our discipline thing. So we thought we had it down. We were going to write a book about parenting. We thought, you know, we know how to do this. And then our daughter was born. And then the Lord showed us, no, you have no idea what you're doing. And so we canceled that. We stopped writing. And we had to learn. We had to learn from the Holy Spirit what it was to raise two different kids, now three different kids. And so all of that comes, a lot of that, just out of the heart of a mom who, you know, the things I've learned over the years about my wife, an amazing intuition in her heart, amazing connection to her children, an amazing awareness of their needs and how they're wired and how they're put together. And I think it's a beautiful picture as we think about the nature of God. And we see the masculine side of God. We go to creation and here's this God producing and creating. And we'll look at a little bit of this when we talk about husbands. But you also have this other side of God who is that nurturing, caring, merciful, loving. And we see that pictured in our wives and in our moms. And God's intention growing up with children is that he would have godly offspring seeing a mom and a dad together in a marriage and getting a full picture of who God is. And so we can't have a full picture of God without our moms. We can't have a full picture of God without our wives. And I think it's amazing in the gospel that Jesus validated women the way that he validated them And I think it's fitting for us to be, you know, just participating in that as a church and saying we value you, moms, and you, wives, and those that are even surrogate moms. You know, it's interesting in Romans, Paul says, "Hey, greet Rufus and his mother, who's also been a mother to me." Paul in the ministry had a mom, a surrogate mom, in Rufus's mother as she took care of him like a mom. And so there's many people in ministry that need those relationships and need those mom and father type relationships even in the ministry. So we want to say thank you to you guys, and thank you for what you bring to our church, and just the spirit you bring, and also just how you work in your families tirelessly, and how the Lord uses you. And so one of the things we want to look at this morning as we look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, is just honoring our mothers, walking in honor of our mothers, and then looking at the influence and impact moms make in the ministry, in their kids. And in this case, we're going to look at Timothy and the impact that his mom and grandma had in his life. So let's pray this morning and ask the Lord to meet us. Father, we just come before you and we just worship you today. We thank you, Lord God, that you're able to do what we cannot do. Lord, you come with grace and mercy and favor. Lord, you show us who you are through our parents, Lord, through these relationships we have in the church, through these interactions that we have with people. We get insight and pictures into who you are. And Father, we thank you for the impact of our moms in our lives, Lord. We thank you for how they've formed us and helped shape us. And Lord, many of us are in the ministry because of their influence and their prayers and their leading and their care. And Lord, I just thank you for that. I know that's my case in my life. And I just pray, Father, you would just honor them today, Lord, that you would give them joy and they would sense your pleasure in their lives, whether they're here with us this morning or whether they live somewhere else. Father, that we would have in our heart to honor them and be a blessing to them. We just praise you. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, and it's the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So here Paul tells children to honor their mother and father. And of course, this morning we're going to focus in on honoring our mother. Honor means to prize, to value, to set a value in your own heart towards that. The Greek word there is timeo, and it means to those very things, to honor. And so we have this this calling from Paul. This is a command and part of our walk with the Lord, is that we would bring honor to our parents and honor to our mother. And so motherhood has a very unique calling, and we get to see this movement. You know, when a baby is born, and the closeness that a mom carries that child for 9 months in her womb and is interacting with that baby, there's a closeness that develops. And then, of course, if she gets the privilege of nursing that child and being able to nurture them and nourish them as they grow, there's such a unique relationship between a mother and her child. And in that, what happens as the kids grow is mom is front and center in giving a vision to their kids, passing on this spiritual heritage in their life. And they have the opportunity to create just a home, to create a beautiful place called a home. You know, moms make a home. There's just a beauty that comes with what a mom does in a house with the kids and with the family. And so this beautiful, simple place called a home. And it becomes a testimony not only for the family, but for the community. And so there's a passing on of a heritage of faith. This is what God's intention is. Look at Psalm 127, verse 3. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And so as we think about this morning, that the fruit of the womb is a reward, that God blesses motherhood and he blesses this exchange of life that goes on and the pouring into the next generation. And I want to focus in on one young man in the Bible that talks about this, and that's Timothy. And we know from Acts chapter 16 that Paul's going through Lystra, and he's on his second missionary journey, and he meets this young man named Timothy. Now, Timothy in the Greek is Timotheos, meaning honoring God or honor of God. It has that very word honor in his name. The first part of his name is very similar to the word honor. And this mother, whose name is Eunice, we know from 2 Timothy, she names him in a way that I think oftentimes you can see that moms and dads will name their kids out of faith. And we'll look at her situation in a minute, but his name actually means honoring God or honor of God. We look at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Here's the story. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted to have him go with him. Missionary journey, and he comes to a certain Derbe. He comes to Lystra on his second missionary journey, and he comes to a certain disciple, this young man named Timothy, who is the son of a Jewish woman, but also his father is Greek. And so we see right away that there's this disharmony in the home. You know, it's interesting that oftentimes we think about the Bible that it creates this perfect environment, this perfect situation. And if I had a perfect situation, I could apply the principles of the Word of God into my perfect situation. But the reality is the Bible paints people as they are. And in this situation, you had a believing Jewish mother, but an unbelieving Greek father. And so really it fell to Eunice, his mother, and Lois, his grandmother, to pour faith into young Timothy. And they had to do it in a mixed marriage situation where you had a believer married to a non-believer. And notice his character there in verse 2. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Timothy lived up to this expectation of his mother. He lived up to the expectation and the call of God in his life. And his actual nature and reputation was he was well spoken of by those who were the disciples there at Lystra and Iconium. And this is the joy of a mother's heart, isn't it? When her kids are walking with the Lord, when her kids are manifesting that investment that they've made in their lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Notice that Solomon's exhortation to his son is don't push off your father's instruction and don't push off your mother's teaching. Wear them around your neck like a necklace. Look at Proverbs 23:25. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. This is what we see in Timothy. Paul sees this young man, and he's causing his mother and his grandmother to rejoice as he begins to walk in faith. And he has this testimony to those that are even outside the family. And what's the result? Paul wanted to have him go with him. There was something that knitted Paul's heart to Timothy. And Paul's like, I want to bring him with me. And I want to have him be a part of the ministry with me. And we go on in Acts chapter 16, verse 4 and 5. We see, and they went through the cities. They delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. And here's the result that Timothy got to be a part of here in verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So Paul and Silas and Timothy, they're going and they're strengthening the churches in the faith. And Timothy's relationship with Paul was so close, and Paul entrusted him with missions of great importance. As Paul begins to mentor him. Now it's interesting because his father's a Greek and is having no spiritual influence in his life. And so God brings a man into his life, and I'm sure at the prayers of his mother that God would bring a godly man to direct him and lead him as a father would. And this is what Paul does. Paul shows up and Paul begins to pour into his life, and Paul begins to entrust him with the ministry. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Here's how Paul writes it. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Here's what he thinks about Timothy. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Notice the effect here of this relationship between Paul and Timothy. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Isn't that a beautiful picture of a young man of faith? That Paul is saying, this young man, Timothy, is so like-minded to me that I'm able to send him to you. I'm able to send him over. And I know when he shows up, he's going to treat you exactly like I do, exactly like Jesus does. Notice the accusation here, all seek their own. Everybody else I know, they're seeking their own and not the things of Christ Jesus. So what do we see of Timothy? He seeks the things of Christ Jesus. He seeks those things which belong to Christ. His proven character, he goes on to say in verse 22, as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Notice this, his proven character. In other words, under pressure, the character of who this young man is comes out. And so you can imagine the joy in Eunice's heart and Lois's heart as they watch their grandson and her Eunice's son grow in maturity in the Lord and become this person that they've always prayed that their kids would become. And Timothy goes on. His name appears as a co-author in 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. He becomes very active in the ministry, expanding the kingdom of God and in the propagation of the gospel with Paul, expanding the kingdom of God and teaching and preaching and missions trips and building churches. And this is where Timothy begins to get built up into. He begins to be used by God in this way. In fact, in 64 AD, Paul leaves Timothy in Ephesus and he becomes the pastor over the city of Ephesus. In this church that we're looking at in Ephesians. And so Paul takes this young man and develops him into a godly leader, into a pastor, a bishop, an overseer, and bears beautiful fruit. Now, here's how Paul directs his letter to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Notice, to Timothy, a beloved son. This is Paul's heart for him. He's like, man, I love this guy. I've seen him grow up. He's got a foundation of faith that God's been able to build on. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, I thank God as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. Notice Paul's heart for him. Without ceasing I pray for you, desiring to see you. Paul says, I can't wait to see you. But notice, He says, I'm mindful of your tears. It's interesting because Timothy seems to be kind of a meek guy, kind of a guy that takes all of the weight of the ministry upon himself and absorbs all of the hurt and all of the load of ministry and he's having trouble bearing under it sometimes. And Paul, in his writings, has to continually encourage him and build him up. But here's Paul's encouragement to him in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. You know, it's interesting because Paul is working with him like a father would work with him. And this would be the training that Timothy's father would have given him had Timothy's father been a spiritual man. You can see the balance between the mother and the grandmother nurturing him and building him up and growing him in the faith. And then the father, you know, keeping him on the straight and narrow. Teaching him how to be a man, teaching him how to grow up. And Paul here says, hey, this is who you are. But we see here, this is the fruit of his mother's life. And, you know, it's interesting because later on in Timothy's life, he was in jail at least once. Because we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23, the writer of Hebrews says, know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. So at the end, towards the end of Timothy's life, he's kind of following totally in Paul's steps, isn't he? And he's arrested and put in jail for being a believer. And we see when Paul was in prison awaiting his martyrdom in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he wanted Timothy to come and visit him. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 9. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. Timothy, please come as soon as you can. This man, Timothy, who was such a blessing to Paul, started out as a young boy under the teaching and instruction of his mother and his grandmother. If you look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we get to look at Paul and his exhortation here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says this, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So notice, he says here, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Paul's extolling Timothy because he has a genuine faith. And notice, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And he acknowledges this genuine faith of both his grandmother and his mother. You know, it's interesting because my mom's name is Lois. And my mom's one of those quiet persons that just loves Jesus. She's not vocal in any way. I've never seen her once share her faith. I've never seen her once, you know, get a track out and talk to somebody about Jesus. She doesn't have that personality. She's the quiet, being at home, praying for her kids, teaching her kids, and lifting them up in prayer. And I've watched over the years, you know, she's going to be 82 this year, and I watched over the years of God just being faithful to her and God answering her prayers. We have six kids, four sisters and two brothers, and both brothers are pastors, and I know that's a direct result of the prayers of my mom. And this is what we see also here in Lois and Eunice here out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, that God is meeting them in their genuine faith by producing genuine faith in their son and growing him into this man who takes that foundation and God builds on it. And Paul can say to him, "I'm persuaded this same faith is in you as well." And what a legacy, a grandmother and mother who models of genuine faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6 tells us a principle in the Bible. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. These two women who were just digging and planting and watering Timothy's whole life, you know, they get to get that return on that investment by seeing the power of the gospel take root in him and God using him in a brand new way and using him to influence people, to share the gospel, to build up churches, to cause people to come to know the Lord. Look at Philippians 4:17. Paul says this, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." What was Paul saying to the Philippians here? Hey, you guys are giving, you guys are serving, you're giving in this case a financial gift. And he's like, I don't seek the finances, I seek what will happen to you as you walk in participation with this calling. And that's what God is Paul, as he's pointing out Lois and Eunice, he's pointing out that all of the ministry that Timothy is experiencing, all the work of God in his life, comes into their account as well. Why? Because they built the foundation. And Paul here is just encouraging Timothy, listen, I see this in you because I've seen it in your mom and your grandmother, and their life of faith has been built into you as you've been taught and trained by them, as you've watched them walk with the Lord, and as you've done that. And so here's an encouragement for us as parents, especially for you as moms, because you hold your kids in your heart in a special place. The work you have invested will bear fruit. Someday. You have not wasted your time. And I know that many of you are praying for your kids to walk with the Lord and all of the foundation that you've laid when they were young, that you're wanting that to bear fruit again. Here's a promise from God in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. "For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister." This is a biblical principle. God will not forget the work that you've poured in to your children. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24, here's another spiritual principle. "But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike." So we see this biblical principle that those who stay back with the stuff, guarding the home, guarding the foundation, guarding the place where this home was built, the people going out to battle and those that are staying home, in this case, Lois and Eunice, they're sharing in the same reward. And I'm sure when they got to heaven, they got to share in the same reward. In fact, they're probably still racking up rewards even today, as the writings of Timothy and the gospel still lingers to today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Here Paul talking to Timothy again, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Notice, you must continue in the things that you've learned and been assured of. Where did he learn them? He learned them from his mother and his grandmother. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." How many of you moms this morning make that part of your prayer every day for your kids? Is, "Lord, you promise that the foundation that we've poured into our kids will bear fruit." Look at verse 14 there again. "Knowing from whom you've learned them." I found this job description on the internet. It says this: position, mother, mom, mama. Here's the job description. Long term, team players needed for challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication and organizational skills, be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends, and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel required, including trips to primitive camping sites on many weekends and endless sports tournaments in faraway cities. Travel expenses not reimbursed, extensive courier duties also required. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance and janitorial work throughout the facility. Responsibilities, the rest of your life, must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until someone needs $5. Must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly, also must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds flat in case this time the screams from the backyard are not someone just crying wolf. Must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, coordinate production of multiple homework projects, must have ability to plan organized social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks, must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment the next, must always hope for the best but be prepared for the worst, must assume final, complete accountability for the quality of the end product. Possibility for advancement and promotion, virtually none. Your job is to remain the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Previous experience, none required, unfortunately. On-the-job training offered on a continual, exhausting basis. Wages and compensation, get this, you pay them. Offering frequent raises and bonuses. A balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, you give them whatever is left. The oddest thing about this reverse salary scheme is that you actually enjoy it and wish you could only do more. Benefits. While no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, and no stock options are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and free hugs for life if you play your cards right. So, and you know, it's just interesting because it is oftentimes that thankless job, isn't it? And oftentimes we wonder, is what we are doing making a difference in the next generation? I'm changing diapers, I'm taking my kid to kindergarten, I'm baking cookies for the bake sale. Whatever season of life we find ourselves in, we often wonder, is this making a difference in eternity? Is this building the future? And what we see here in Timothy's life is it is. The life that he experienced, the ministry that he experienced, Lois and Eunice are reaping the rewards of that even today in heaven. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Think about this. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, as you guys know, and many of you that are moms, a mom has a very deep well that she just hides all of her experiences, all of her memories, all of her heart gets hidden in a very deep well. Men, we're kind of, what you see is what you get. But women and mothers hang on to those things in such a way that they're deeply into their life. And this is what we see in Mary's life. When the shepherds come to worship Jesus and they're worshiping the King of Kings, it says Mary just took these things and hid them away as a memory. Just hid them away as a mystery with the Lord and kept it in her heart. You guys remember as you go on in Luke chapter 2, and Jesus, they're coming back from Jerusalem, and they realize after 3 days, where's Jesus? That wasn't Mary's parenting skills. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize Jesus wasn't here for 3 days. They were all with family. And all of a sudden, they realize they're not there. We see in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, they finally find him, and here's Mary's words to him. Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic. It's a great mom move, right? Your dad is going crazy. But what is she bearing? Hey, I've been frantic. I've been searching for you everywhere. And when they find him, a mother's heart is again, I've got him. If you've ever lost a kid, have you ever been somewhere where all of a sudden you can't find your kid? You've ever been to like a convention or some kind of thing where a whole bunch of people are around and you think, well, I know what they're wearing. And as soon as you lose them, every kid's wearing the same exact outfit. It's like, how did that happen? And you begin to panic, don't you? And this is where Mary was. She was like frantic searching for him. But when she found him, what happened? Peace came back into her life. This is where she gathered that. And of course, Jesus says, hey, didn't you know? Didn't you know, Mom, I was going to be about my father's business? Don't you realize that when the shepherds worshiped me, they were telling you that I was following the Father? And notice what it says about her again. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Here again, we see in Mary just this picture of the deep well of a mom's heart who just holds on to these things. And these things inform her prayers. From the time that you kids were little and your mom is nurturing you and as you're growing, she's hiding these things in her heart and desires that she's praying towards. This was Lois and this was Eunice praying for Timothy that he would become a man that God called him to be. And when they got to see that begin to happen, what a joy in their heart. In fact, God presents himself as a mother would in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Notice how God describes himself. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I will not forget you. Here, God comes and he speaks through the prophet Isaiah, and he goes, listen, here's just a practical thing we all know as human beings. A mom cannot turn away from her kid. It's just this deep well of love and connection. And he says, but even if that were possible, I, like that mother, will never forget you, will never turn away from you. Look at Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. We get to see that God has this side to him, like we see in our mothers, this side of comfort and encouragement and strengthening and building. And there's those times that you need that, right? Growing up, you need that. You know, my kids, when they would fall, they would want their mom because she knew how to comfort them. She knew how to put the Band-Aid on. She knew how to do those things in a special way. There's something about a mom's kissing your boo-boos that make them heal immediately and they're able to get back to life. Notice Jesus, even as he expresses this in Luke 13, 34, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. He uses this picture of a hen gathering her little brood of chicks under her wings. And we know that when that happens, that hen will go to death to protect those little ones. And that's a picture of a mom, isn't it? And she'll go to death to protect her kids. You know, years ago, I was at church on a Sunday night. We're in the middle of an afterglow time seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, my phone went off, and it was my wife. And she said, Stephen's cut himself. I've called 911. And I ran home as fast as I could. And my little wife, my son came down and he fainted on the ground. And my wife came and running, scooped him up and ran with him to the couch. That's superhuman strength, right? That's the strength of a mom. In a panic, all of a sudden she was, I can do anything. And that's the picture that the closeness and the connection of the heart, where this woman can become superhuman in defense or in care of her kids if she feels threatened or in danger. There's a great verse in the Bible, Proverbs 17, verse 20, verse 12. It is safer to meet a bear robbed of her cubs. That's the picture. A lot of times you'll call a mom, that's a mama bear. What's saying? You get between me and my kids, and it's safer to go meet a bear than to get that, right? And so we see this beautiful relationship that God has put into mothers to raise the next generation. And that's one of the reasons we're so appreciative of what our moms have done for us, because really growing up, we have no idea what they go through, right? We just expect them to be there. No idea what they sacrifice for us and how they take their own careers oftentimes and sacrifice them for you. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we take one day a year. So, you know, there's 364 other days you can abuse her and demand from her. But this one day, you get to give back to her in a meaningful way to say thank you for all the other days you do what you do for us. But notice, what do we see here? Again, you've known from whom you've learned them. And all of us here today, we look back and we go, I know what I've learned from my mother, and it's informed my faith today. Now, that's a beautiful thing. And notice how it comes about. Look at the rest, the other part of verse 15 there. That from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Mothers have a unique and crucial role in the lives of their children. Here's some of the things that we see out of the Bible. Number one, availability. Morning, noon, and night. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. That you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands and that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Listen, is that somebody's life verse here? Repeat them again and again to your children. Is that, you feel like that's one, every one of your conversations? Oh my gosh, I've got to say this again, you know? But here, what is he saying? Repeat the word of God over and over and over again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Look at the second one, involvement, interacting, discussing, thinking, and processing life together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Look at the third one, teaching the scriptures with a biblical worldview to craft young men and women who are focused and able to counter the wisdom from the world. Look at Psalm 78, verse 5 and 6. For he issued his laws to Jacob and gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children. This is what we see in Lois and in Eunice. Look at training, helping a child develop skills to discover his or her strengths. Proverbs 22:6, direct your children into the right path, and they, when they're older, they will not leave it. Look at discipline, teaching the fear of the Lord, drawing the line consistently, lovingly. Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Look at the nurture, providing an environment of constant verbal support, freedom to fail, acceptance, affection, unconditional love. Oftentimes that's one of the tough ones there is giving their kids the freedom to fail and loving them unconditionally through it. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 4. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Look at the next one, modeling with integrity, living what you say, being a model from which your child can learn by catching the essence of godly living. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, but watch out, be careful, never to forget what you yourselves have seen. Do not let the memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and to your grandchildren. And so we see here, there's the word of God is the foundation for all of this faith that's being produced in Timothy's life and all of the fruit that's coming from that faith. Now look at again in verse 15, that you be able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the answer of every Christian mother's prayer in this place this morning, and every Christian mother that lives around the world, that our children become wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the number one prayer. Boy, we We appreciate all the things that our kids accomplish in life. But there's one accomplishment that is greater than any other accomplishment, and that is that they've come to faith in Jesus Christ and that they're going to be in heaven forever with you. I remember, just over the years, talking to my kids in devotions, and I used to tell them, I can't imagine heaven without you. I can't even picture heaven without all my kids. And I don't know what that would be like. And I know every mother here this morning is desiring, as a Christian mother, to be, every time I think about heaven, you're there. So answer our prayer, Lord, and make all of our kids wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. What does Paul tell us? Honor your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. As we close up here this morning, we get to see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, that mothers are the measure of honor in the church. Look what Paul says here. Don't rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers. And we're called also to honor our mother at every age of life. We see in Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. But also in Proverbs 23, 22, when you're grown, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. We get older, we get busier, and we get neglectful, don't we, in our lives. But nobody was busier than Jesus, right? And we have this neat picture about Jesus in John 19, verse 25 to 27. And you guys know the picture. Jesus is on the cross. He's a little bit busy, right? He's on the cross dying for our sins. Notice what he does. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his very own home. And then Jesus dies. And so we see that Jesus, in the middle of ministry, in a very busy season of his life, in a time when he is in the middle of some very hard work, he takes the time to do what? To honor his mom. You see, Jesus, from the time we see the turning of the water of wine in John chapter 2, Joseph apparently is gone. Jesus is the oldest son, he's in charge of the family, running the family business, taking care of his mom, taking care of the other sons and daughters in the family. And his role as the senior son would have been to make sure his mom was taken care of. And what does he do from the cross? As he's dying for our sins, he sees John, his disciple, and he sees Mary, and he says, "John, I want you to take my mom as your mom, and I want you to bless her, and I want you to take care of her." And it says that from that hour, John took her as his own mother. So let's have the band come up this morning. So as you think about your mom this morning, maybe you're here and you're still in your home and you're still honoring by obeying and listening and following. I was thinking about this. There's just a few ways that you can honor your mom this morning. Here's the first one. Just forgive her. Sometimes we need to forgive our moms because we've got issues that have gone unresolved in our own heart towards them. And one of the reasons why we're so antagonistic in our relationship is we haven't chosen to forgive. Secondly, we can speak well of her. Thirdly, listen to her. Fourthly, spend time with her. Number five, open your heart to her. And number six, provide for her. Whatever that is. It's simple. It's simple in a lot of ways to slow down enough to take care of her, to bless her, to share your heart with her, to just give her some insight into where your heart is and your mind is, and thanking her for what she's done for you. Here's the conclusion. Proverbs 31:28. Her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Not only will your kids praise you, but here's the final word that Jesus has in our life, Matthew 25:23. Her Lord said to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." What a blessing. Let's pray together.